Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Watchman Radio. I am Pastor Dean. Right now, we are going to be waiting for Pastor Charlie, and we have another guest, Joey Basta. I sent him out the links. We've had some issues with this in the past, so let's see if we can get this to go. Waiting for them to go. So while we're waiting for them, let's sit down there. We have a guest call-in number that I'm going to start doing because we want to start hearing from the people that may be listening. So the number is 515-605-9899. And again, Charlie is having some issues coming in here. So forgive us at the beginning of this show, but we've had problems with this in the past. And now I have to see. So let's just take a peek here. Let's go. Bear with me for 1 second. Let's try this. And So let's go. Okay, so let's see what's going on here. Bear with us. I'm going to play a little bit of a song here while I try to get this underway. Please bear with us. Okay, so we are trying to get our guest speakers on here. We're having a little bit of an issue. We got to figure out what's going on. So today we're going to be talking about sin. And let's see what goes on here. Let's see if they can get it now. So hopefully this will get them through. And we'll see what happens. Okay, so we invited them. And let's see if that gets them through or not here. So we'll wait a minute and see what's going on. But today we're going to be talking about sin. something that the church doesn't really talk about. Hopefully the people will call in and we'll see what's going on here. So we're waiting for Pastor Charlie to get in. This blog stuff is, sometimes it gets a little bit hard to try to cooperate with us. So it's been a good week. There's been a lot of things going on in the world. And let's see. Charlie, I don't know if you can hear me, but we need to get this figured out here. Let's see what is going on. All right, Charlie's here.
Yeah, I finally got
looks
here.
Looks like we finally got here. I don't know what goes on. I send the links out. I sent one out to Joey Basta as well. Apparently he must be having some problems because he's not on. Let me go and see what's going on here. Let's go like this. All right, so I just sent him a message. And again, for those of you who want to call in, our number is 515-605-9899. I apologize. It took so long for us to get going. I don't know what's going on with it, but we lost about 7 minutes of the show. And hopefully the dead air time won't persuade people from not listening. So we're on, Charlie. You're live.
Good, good. It just took a while. I had a hard time logging on so that somebody could listen to the thing, because when I went to the website, I kept getting diverted to another website, which was wrong. So something, you might need to contact the people and see what's going on.
Right. Now, which one did it come on? The second email you gave me or the first one?
Yes, the second email. It came right on in. I'm going back to the first email, but I don't think it ever came in on the first email at all.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be able to send a link, and then it goes on from there.
Yeah.
But anyways, we'll see if Joey Basta indeed does come on. Maybe he forgot about it. I don't know. I sent him a message on through Messenger. We'll see if he comes on. He's not answering, so...
Okay.
We'll just wait and go from there. So today we're going to be talking about what the church loves to talk about, and that's sin. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think I've heard the church talk about sin in quite some time, actually. What do you think about that, Charlie?
Well, the church, most churches do not speak anything against sin at all, and that's a real shame.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, but it never did come in on the other email. But anyway, no. If you don't put a number one in it, it won't go through.
Yeah, no, I did. I mean, I've checked it 100 times. I've got it written down. I mean, all kinds of stuff, but
I don't know.
But I don't understand what's going on.
Like I said, you may have to contact.
We'll have to...
Anyway, the churches do not speak against sin hardly at all anymore. Recently, even today, I was up looking at some quote Christian websites, and they had nothing, absolutely nothing on there about people truly repenting. There was a few little divots here and there that said, you know, we as a nation need to repent, but they don't talk about what they need to repent of, and they don't deal with the root of the thing. And that's discouraging, because the Bible tells us very plainly about sin, and it's very, very clear that we need to keep a very, very, very short list before the Lord, that we who live in this life and in this flesh, we have to keep short records, and anything that comes into our lives that goes contrary wise to the commandments of Jesus, we really need to repent of as quickly as possible.
That's right. It's funny, because even when you become born again, I think some of the things that I've heard, some of the things I was taught actually when I was when I was younger is once you become born again, you know, Jesus has redeemed us from all sin, which he has. Thank you, Jesus. And basically, I think some people may think that they have a free ticket to basically do whatever they want because they have a get out of hell card, you know, free. And, you know, once you've accepted Christ and he, you know, he's the Redeemer and his blood's washed away that sin, you can sin. It's all right because you're forgiven.
Well, there are those who try to use the, and I've heard it too, and I've actually heard preachers preach on it, is that, you know, you can go out and do anything you want to, and the Lord will forgive you. But the scriptures also teach us that if you continue in that, if it's a habitual thing that you continue in that, then you become in some pretty serious consequences. Yes, the Lord will chastise. He will send things your way to try to make you think and get you to stop that thing that you're doing. Chastisement is a part of it. But he who continues in it and continues that behavior without any repentance and turning away from it whatsoever, I would question whether they're actually even saved or not, because there's nothing within them that wants them to divert away from that sin.
Right. I'm in total agreement with you. I'm not going to lie. When I first became born again, I mean, I love Jesus, man. And, you know, I thought I was safe. And from what I said, you know, there are some denominations out there that say basically once saved, always saved. So, you know, that's woohoo. You know, we can go out there and enjoy our youth and do what we want. Because if, you know, something does happen, God forbid, we're going to heaven.
In 1 John 3:8, there's a comment about that. Is it okay if I read that comment?
No, go for it.
All right. In 1 John 3:8, it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." That's not the thing that was said years ago, "The devil made me do it." The devil can't make you do anything. All he can do is suggest and point you towards something, and then you choose to do it. Not everyone that sins or commit acts of sin, then every man is of the devil, because no man lives without the commission of sin. But he who makes his sin his constant business and the employment of his life, whose life is a continued series of sinning, he is of the devil. Not as an origin and substance or by proper generation, as some have literally understood the words, but by imitation, being like him. And so of him, their father, the devil, doing his lust, living continually in sin as he does, and so resemble him as children do their parents, and hereby also appear to be under his government and influence, to be led captive by him at his will, and so to bring to him as such as will have their part and portion with him, this is important now, in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone. That's tough. But that's the way it is. If you continue in it, you're in trouble.
You know, I believe there's also scripture that says basically if you continue in your sin, and I'm paraphrasing this, but if you continue in your sin, it can null and void what Jesus did for you in your own life. And again, I'm paraphrasing that, but basically it makes it null and void in your life.
The scriptures do teach that. That there's a point, we don't know where that point is, and some people will definitively debate the issue, but there's a point where people have walked with the Lord and they've just literally turned their back. The Lord will never turn his back on you, absolutely not, but we can choose to walk out from under him. He will chastise us, he will deal with us, he will do everything he can, create situations, circumstances to turn us around. But if we're so stubborn and hard-hearted as to refuse that and be angry at him and not repent, we could be in serious trouble. No question about it.
You know, what do you think, what would you say, like, say you have the person who's an addict or, you know, they're an alcoholic. Maybe they have, you know, with pornography, you know, and like it has a grip on them. And then when they do it, they feel bad, but they're caught up with it. What would you say about somebody who was stuck in some kind of sin like that?
I have known people that have been stuck in pornography, and the lust within them drove them to that. Number one, they have to make a decision that they want to deal with that behavior. That's number one on the list. They have to ask the Lord to help them and strengthen them to get away from that type of thing. And then they have to put safety barriers around them, people that will help hold them accountable to not get involved in that thing. I've known, I remember one preacher that I knew, he openly admitted he had a problem with it. And he set it up to where his computer was in a place where it could be seen by the whole family, and he would not go on that computer unless other family members were around. And they also set up a thing to where every website that he went to, other family members could check on it. Now, that's taking dramatic steps, but that's what you have to do. It may even involve deliverance of getting rid of some of that stuff.
See, now, that's what I was waiting for as well. A lot of times, and now, somebody who's driven to that and they can't do it, I'm not saying it's all the time. I'm not going to tell you like a percentage of what it is. But if for one reason, and you feel horrid afterwards, that's a good sign, believe it or not, when you sin feeling bad afterwards. That's good, because that will help you basically want to stop. But if it's something that just drives you or a trigger point that sets you off or something like that, a lot of times it can be a spiritual issue, and it can be demonic. And like Charlie was just saying, that sometimes that demonic, you know, entity, well, the demonic oppression or possession or whatever it is, has to be dealt with. And until that person's ready to change and wants to walk away from it, well, there's nothing that really can be done to her mind. You know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And it's the same with sin. And the example that I come up with is when Jesus came to the land and the demon-possessed man or men came running to him. Those men were demon possessed. Do you think that the demons would actually want to run to Jesus knowing that he could set them free?
That man, you're speaking of the Gadarene demoniac, he really had no volition of his own, because he would walk among the tombs, they chained him up, he'd break the chains, he had supernatural strength, so to speak, and he was just a wild man. But when Jesus walked on the scene, those devils recognized him. They knew who he was. And that man, must have been something in him that knew who Jesus was. And when Christ approached him, he was set free, because the scripture records he was found clothed and in his right mind. That would have been someone that would have been probably in today's terms, would have been in some sort of mental institution and maybe even in a padded cell or strapped down or whatever. But when Jesus appeared and set that man free, he was clothed and in his right mind. And that is very, very, very significant, because for the first time in his life, he had to make some choices about what he was going to do to earn a living and how he was going to live and things like that. He really could not make those choices so long as he was under that demonic power.
That's right. That's right. So, and another thing that I've learned from my life is, I'm going to be honest with you, man, I used to like to sin. It's fun. And now, as you get older, I'm talking about me now. I'm not talking about anybody else. It's my own experience, because that's the only thing I can really tell that I know of that's true. But when I was younger, and as I got older and everything, yeah, I would like to sin when I was younger. I mean, you know, I was just like to sin. And I got into some things that I shouldn't have done. I felt horrible afterwards. But after a while, you kind of, your conscience might get a little seared. So, you know, and next thing you know, a year has gone by, and you're really not living your life for Christ. And then the Holy Spirit will kind of whisper at you and give you a little tug, give you a hard tug, and you'll do that. But as you get older, in my case, you start to think about your immortality, meaning that you're getting older. You could die. Let's be honest with you. We don't know how many days we're here. And so you start to say, you know what? I want to do some things for the Lord. Well, in order to do that, you know, you have to stop some of the old things that you were doing.
In my case,
the more I dug into the Word and got to know more about God, I'm going to just go on a sidetrack right here. See, a lot of people today, and what I view from my experience, see, a lot of people know of God, but they don't know who God is. So they know of him, but they don't really know him. You know what I mean? They've heard of him. They know he's real, but they don't have a relationship with him.
That's exactly right. They do not. And they're not taking the time to develop that relationship. They're not taking any time to get to know the mind of Christ. They don't read the Gospels. They don't surround themselves with the Word of God. If nothing else, just read it. If you just read the Scriptures, you may not understand it. If you just read it, the Holy Spirit, who is the best teacher of all, once you're saved and born again, that Holy Spirit will help enlighten you, and you will begin to understand those Scriptures very clearly.
That's right. That's right. And the reason why we're saying this, I mean, I'm sure people know this. So what does that have to do with sin? Well, the thing is the more you read the Word and you get to basically you develop a relationship with God, and it does a cleaning from within. And so the more you get to know about Jesus, the more you get to know about God, the more you get to know about the Holy Spirit, it becomes more, and he becomes closer to you. He starts to permeate you. You start to think more about him. And as you start to think more about him, you start to say, hey, you know what? I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Father.
Yeah.
And you start to realize what's more important. Go ahead.
I know a pastor that he preached fairly often, and he would preach in the pulpit, sin has pleasure for a season. And
that's right.
He spoke of it very often. But somewhere down the line, he made a choice and wound up creating infidelity against his wife with another woman. And you say, well, the devil got in there. No, there was a choice made in that to do that, knowing that that person had preached very often, fairly often, sin is a pleasure for a season. Well, that wound up being a season for that pastor, because it wound up with a divorce and other things that went on. We don't. And Satan uses that as a temptation, and has caused many men of God and women of the Lord to get involved in things they've got no business in. And right now, today, we've got well-known, quote, evangelists and pastors and so forth that have been in several relationships and several marriages, and they're still out there preaching the gospel, saying they're saved, they're born again, they're going to heaven. I question that.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, think about it this way. Think about it for a second. Like you, your wife, or me, or my wife. If I came home, or she came home, and I said, hey, how you doing? I love you. And then I went off, and that's all the time I spent with her, just to say, hey, I love you, or in the morning say good morning, and then you don't spend any more time with that person. How can you develop a relationship and want to spend time with that person and want to do the right thing for that person, make that person happy, and to live for that person and do that? Well, it's the same way with God. And so you have to spend time with him in order to get to know him, in order to be able to love him. And when you love somebody, guess what? You're not going to sin against them. You know, you're not going to go out and sleep with that other person's wife. Yeah, that wage of that sin that you were talking about, the pastor, the wage of that sin was the death of his marriage. It was the death of him pastoring that church. It was the death of him and all the work that he had done to establish to where he was in the church. And so you have to get to a point where you have to learn to turn from the temptation of the sin. Because I got news for you, Charlie. I mean, you've been around for a long time. Do you still have the... sin or the chance to sin or something like that ever present itself to you?
Well, yeah. But the longer you walk, the more you learn to recognize that it's there, and you don't have to cave into it. You don't have to do it. You just don't. And you say, Lord, I don't need to be involved in this. I had someone tell me something the other day, and this is how the Holy Spirit works on us and trains us. I had someone tell me the other day, they were at the grocery store, and at this particular grocery store, to get the shopping cart, you have to put a quarter in the shopping cart to get the cart to do your shopping, and when you put the cart back, you get your quarter back. Well, there was an extra quarter in a cart, and the thought crossed the mind, says, well, you know, I could take that quarter, but they didn't take the quarter. It didn't belong to them.
Right.
Okay. And that's how pinpoint it can get, because the scriptures teach us that we're going to be judged on such things. And the scriptures also teach us that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. So it's the little things, and you get a bunch of little things, and then you go get a big thing. And when we realize, I mean, there have been times that I've seen tools and things like that that I'd love to get my hands on, but I realize if it belongs to someone else, it does not belong to me. If I want to use it, I go ask the person if I may borrow it, but I'm certainly not going to take it.
You know, it's funny because you talk about the quarter. This would be my, this is how it works with me. If I would have taken that quarter after, you know, the Spirit was telling me not to, I'd have taken that quarter and said, hey, I got a quarter. And in my luck, I'd have lost $25. You know what I mean? Say something else would have happened, like a tire would have popped or something like that on my car. It would have cost me $125. So I think sometimes you're better off just listening to it and saying, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do it. It's not mine.
I've had similar things in my life too. I'm serious, you know, I can laugh and joke about it, but it's serious business. The Lord's teaching and training us to walk with Him day by day by day. And I'm telling you, I could go into any store, anywhere, and I can see a lot of stuff that I might would like to have or whatever else. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to take it.
Nope.
I'm not going to touch it. And
no.
I have told this story many times before. When I was about, I don't know, probably about 10 years old, me and some friends of ours, we decided that we were going to go into a local store. We all knew the owner of the store. We all knew each other. And about 8 or 10 of us went into that store, and a bunch of us stole stuff. I got an ice cream. Okay, I stole it. No question about it. I didn't pay for it. I got over there by the ice cream box, and when the store owners were busy, I got the ice cream, put it in my pocket, and then some of the other guys bought some stuff, and we went out the door, and several people had stolen stuff. When I got home, I was walking down the street toward my house. I was eating that ice cream. My daddy came out the door, and he said, "Where'd you get that ice cream?" And I said, "Well, I bought it." He said, "What'd you buy it with?" I said, "Uh-oh," because I didn't have a nickel in my pocket. I didn't have a penny. He says, he mentioned the name of the store owner, and he says he called me and he told me what you did. He said, "I'm gonna give you the money for that ice cream. You go back up there and you pay him for that ice cream, and whatever he does, that's between you and him." Well, I went up there and I apologized to the man. I paid him for the ice cream, and he took me out back and he gave me about 5 or 6 good swats on the butt. And I got it again when I got home. So I remembered that lesson that I don't want to steal, because you pay consequences for behavior.
That's right.
Now, did it stick and did it stay that way forever? No. When I got into my teen years, I did some really dumb, stupid things. I mean, really dumb and stupid. But I'm using that as an analogy that the Lord will deal with us in like manner. If we do this, then we're going to be in trouble. He will chastise us. He will try to bring us into discipline to learn and understand.
That's right. I mean, we're going to be doing when we do our show Iron Sharpens Iron, we'll tape it on Monday, but we'll be getting deeper into the sin and everything, because we got a lot of scriptures here. But with the radio show, we try to keep it as, you know, just like a discussion. We're trying to get more people involved, and as soon as I can figure out how to invite the people in here, you know, it'll get better. But, you know, some of the sin's causes, I mean, there are causes in a person's life that we had written down here, and this is all according to Scripture, that causes, or sin's causes. I mean, when you're in sin, it could be jealousy, idolatry, rebellion against God, prosperity. Yeah, can you believe that, Charlie, that prosperity can actually cause you to sin?
Oh, yes, definitely. I can
open a big can right there.
Yeah, it can, but I can remember John Wesley. He was a man who the Lord used to build a lot of churches in the Methodist Church. But John Wesley, he had a saying, and he stuck to it. He said, when money comes to me, he says, let me get rid of it quickly, lest it find its way into my heart.
That's right.
And he lived by that. Yes, he built a lot of churches, you know, and he did a lot of great works and so forth and so on. But, you know, when John Wesley died, the only thing that he had to give his pallbearers was a spoon. He had arranged that each pallbearer would receive a special spoon from John Wesley, and that was all the possessions he had.
He came into the world with nothing. He left with nothing.
And but that's the way he lived his life. Now, was John Wesley perfect? No, no, he wasn't perfect. And anybody who studied his history all knows he wasn't perfect. But God used him in a great way. But yes, that's the way he lived, and that's the way he died. We can't say that today about a lot of the preachers today, can we?
No. Oh, gosh, no.
Continue on with your list there.
All right. So sin can also cause, ready for this, hatred. Here's one that we know that it can cause, an evil tongue.
Yes.
Greed and oppression, pride and lust. Mm-hmm. And here's one that we'll talk about. Sin often leads to, so if you continually sin, that sin can lead to, ready for this, murder.
Yes, it can.
Misery. There's a lot of miserable people out there. Ready for this, in Deuteronomy and Micah, separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one right here, because people don't realize, even though that Christ has redeemed us from sin, if we continually or habitually sin, that can separate us from God. And Charlie said, because the word says that, God will never leave us or forsake us, but that separation is us walking away from God and the things of God and walking into sin and, let's be honest, the things of the world of the devil. You know what I'm saying? So it can cause separation from God.
Yes,
it can cause, ready for this? Sin can lead to disease. So a lot of people out there that are sickly and stuff, they're diseased. You know, they because of sin. And then unrest, destruction, disgrace, adultery, theft,
mm-hmm.
poverty and ruin, shame. And here's the biggest one. Sin can lead to the exclusion from heaven.
Yeah.
And that's 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, and Galatians 5, 19 through 21, if people want to look it up. I mean, there it is.
It's right there. We're also taught, too, I was just handed something, that we're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
That's right. Well, let me ask you something. Let me stop you right there for a second, because that's a good one. We're supposed to do that. Now, here's a question for you. And tell me if you know a secret, or if the people out there maybe can, you know, message us or get us a hold of us on Facebook, something like that, a secret. If we're supposed to, say that scripture one more time that you just said.
It says, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Okay. So my question to you, Charlie, is it says to bring it to the obedience of Christ. If you don't spend time in the Word and get to know who Jesus really is and who God is and who the Holy Spirit is, how can you bring it to the obedience of Christ? It's a little bit more difficult, wouldn't you say? Very good.
You can't. You really can't do it. Because if you don't know what the Lord requires of us, and what we're to do as Christian believers, then we cannot walk in that. We will be bouncing around out there doing all kinds of things that are ungodly. And there are a lot of people that are in churches, and they've sat in churches for years and years and years and years and years, and they're still involved in things that they shouldn't be involved in because, number one, their pastor hasn't taught them, which is a disgrace, and they have not learned that one of the requirements of us is to endeavor to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that's a tall order. But if our thoughts are on Christ, if our thoughts are on obedience to the Lord, then we have little difficulty in committing things that we shouldn't commit. We just don't. There's something within us that restrains us, and it's the Holy Spirit.
Right, right. Now, what would you say to the person who, you could tell that they love God, and they're trying to follow him, but they've been they're entangled in sin. What would you say to them? Would you say, just give up, it's all over, forget it, you're all done?
No. No.
What would you suggest to somebody who's like that? Because I guarantee you a very large amount of the body of Christ, that's where they're at right now.
They can turn. They can repent. They can begin again. But again, if there's a twinge of conscience or something within them that's saying to them, we shouldn't be doing this, that's the Lord dealing with you to repent and turn. And if you do that, then he can bring salvation to you. Not just being saved from your sin, but bring salvation to you that those things that you're involved in do not have to control your life.
That's right.
And that can be a pretty tall order. But if that's done, there again, you've got to have some people around that will encourage and some people around that will point out things to you. And I tell you honestly, Dean, the most of the pastors out here today, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for, because they don't deal with things even like we're talking about tonight. They won't touch them. They're so scared that their congregation, that people are going to leave and they're going to take their money with them.
Sad but true. Sad but true. Sad
man.
But true. And let me say something. I've known Charlie for a while, and we once a week we'll get together and eat breakfast and talk and talk a little bit about different things and about what we want to do and stuff. What Charlie was saying to me about the pastors when he said they ain't worth 2 cents, he's not saying that he just dislikes them, that he wishes any harm upon them or anything like that. What he's saying basically is what they're teaching is nothing but bunk. And they need to wake up, get into the Word themselves, stop teaching what they've been taught or tradition or, watching somebody else. Get into the Word, ask for forgiveness, stop doing what they're doing, and stop preaching what the Word says. That's what Charlie means when he says that.
Yeah, well, thank you for clarifying that, because that's... It was kind of an open-ended thing, but that's what I meant by that, is that a lot of the preachers just are not teaching their congregations what they should be teaching them, and it's frustrating to see that, people that have that responsibility and that position to be able to instruct others and to lead and guide them fail in their job. And if you or I were to stand in front of a group of people on any given day to do a teaching or preaching or whatever, we don't pull any punches. We tell it like it is. And that's, I think, is the biggest difference. Is I wouldn't, again, when I pastored a church, I never took a salary. So I wasn't responsible for somebody saying, well, I'm going to take my money and leave. And I say, go ahead. Bye. Enjoy yourself. I'm not dependent upon your money. If the Lord doesn't provide for the work of the ministry, we've got no business being in that ministry, period.
That's right. Thank you for saying that. How much money do we get, Charlie, when we do ministry and stuff? Who gives us money?
Nobody, as I know of.
It comes out of your pocket, your wife's pocket, comes out of my wife's pocket, my pocket, doesn't it?
That's where it comes from, yeah.
Right. So yeah. We work, we support our own ministry. We do our own things. We don't ask a cent from anybody. And in fact, when we did do a couple of church services and we did some things and everything, when we did put an offering plate out there, we left the plate out and people would put money in, and a good portion of the time people would take money out if they had a need. That's how we would do things.
I bet most wouldn't do that.
No. Well, I'm thinking of some people. I'm picturing the pastor's faces right now saying, oh, be quiet. Don't you dare talk like that.
The first time I saw that, I laughed till I cried. I was in school in upstate New York, and I was down at a little church down there in Mohawk, New York, and the pastor was he's an animated character, no question about it. But he said, well, it's getting toward the end of the service, we need to take up the offering. And some people came up and they got the little place and they started passing. He said, tell you what, those of you that can and will, put some in there. He says, those of you that need some, take some of it out. And I watch people. I watch some take some out, and I watch people put some in. And I just howl like a hind. I did. I laughed. I laughed till I cried. It was so funny because I'd never seen that before. But that stuck with me. I never forgot that.
That's to me, that's really how it should be. But I don't know. We're getting kind of off on a sidetrack there. But, and again, I mean, we're in a thing that the churches have to start. But more than that even, so I think that the individual who's trying to develop a stronger relationship with God, we need to deal with the issue of sin. Now, there's going to be times you're going to fall. And when you fall, you get back up, you dust yourself off, you repent. Be quick to repent. Say, I'm sorry. I don't care if you have to say it. Jesus said to say it 70 times 7. You know, how many times should I forgive, or how many times? So that if he had to forgive somebody did something, they were sinning. You know what I mean? So you just keep asking and keep going to God and keep digging into the Word. I guarantee you it'll get less and less and less and less.
Yes, sure will. Yes, you stay with the Lord, you read His Word, you trust the Holy Spirit who lives within you after you've repented of your sin, confessed Christ as your Savior, been washed by the blood of Jesus. You will find that the Holy Spirit that's within you will help you understand and lead and guide you into the truth of His Word. No question about it.
That's right. That's right. Charlie just sent me a message telling me my mic is breaking up. I do apologize for that. It's an older mic. I think this weekend I'll go out and buy a better one. Put up with me for 16 more minutes, and then I promise you I'll get something better. So the whole thing with the sin is just to get you to recognize that there is sin. Now, I don't know about you, Charlie, but I don't think I'll never arrive. You know what I mean? There'll always be something. I mean,
yeah.
But the thing is I think that God is a God that looks at your heart. And if you're trying, and sometimes you may fall off the wagon, you might do something that you shouldn't do. But just remember, if you do something, especially if it's habitual, I'm almost positive, but if it's habitual, that wage of that sin could bring death to that situation. That death doesn't mean just physical death. I mean, it could be death of a situation like a marriage or you know what I mean? It could be a ministry. I mean, it could be a lot of things. You need to think about that. I mean, is it worth losing, especially if you're doing stuff with God, is it worth losing, doing things for the Lord?
Well, it's one thing if the Lord calls you away from something to something else, but it's another thing to continue in sin and think you're going to be blessed.
Right.
You're not. Nope. And in my early Christian experience, I got that very clearly. because I continued in some things and I was not blessed, and I had to realize I couldn't keep doing that anymore. And I tell you, the Lord's faithful. You do things you shouldn't be doing, and he'll get to you. Because after I got saved, one more little example here, after I got saved, I still visited my favorite watering hole, my favorite bar. And they knew me in there well. I knew all the waitresses there. I knew the bartender. And I'd walk in, and every time I'd walk in, they'd have my favorite drink sitting on the bar when I walked in. They knew I was going to come in and order that, and I was going to get some food and that kind of thing. And so I'd walk in, and they'd have a Singapore Sling sitting right there waiting for me. But after I got saved, just within a short period of time, I'm talking literally a few weeks, I walk back into the same bar. I go in there, and I walk in, and I'm speaking to people that I know, and they look at me like maybe I got three heads or something. I didn't understand it. They looked at me strange. They looked at me really, really weird. And I'd speak to them, call them by name, and they'd say, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. Well, I got up to the bar, and my drink wasn't there. And I tell you, sometimes the Lord will use a heathen jackass to talk to you. Because I went up to the bar, I sat down, the bartender came over there, and he looked at me, and I told him, I said, you know, where's my drink? He says, there's something different about you. You don't belong in here anymore.
That's funny.
Now, that'll get your attention right quick.
Yeah, it sure would. We're talking about stories here now. I was brought up in a certain denomination for the good portion of my life. Now, I used to spend a lot of time at church, especially when I was younger. I'll say I was Church of God. I've got well over 20 years where I was in now. So we used to sit down, I'd stay and pray. Of course, I'd be there every week. I was on fire for the Lord. I used to go out and put out flyers. I'd tell everybody about Jesus. I think people would see me coming and run when I was younger. I had my Jesus belt, you know, buckle. You could tell it was the early 80s. It doesn't take long when you do something like that that they're going to say, hey, why don't you get involved and do this and do that? Well, there were three or four times that I did get involved. And thank God that I do that. Well, I'd have a sin problem in my life. And I can remember this at least two or three times when I was the head of something because of that sin problem and feeling so bad and knowing that it was wrong, I stepped down each and every time. I would not lead knowing that I had that sin issue that had to be dealt with. And it took me, several years to get through it. But the thing is, I guess the thing that got me is I don't think you can do both effectively.
No, you can't. You can't. It's essentially impossible to do that. I don't know how some ministers today continue doing what they're doing and then stand up and continue to preach. I don't know how they do it. I really don't, because there's things that's obviously, I mean, it's glaringly obvious that there's some things in there that's not right. But they continue on and on and on. I couldn't do it. I just could not do it. If I knew that I was struggling with something that had to be dealt with to get things right in my life, I would have to sidestep till I got that thing straightened out. I'm with you because I couldn't do it. It's not worth the trouble.
Sometimes, say, give an example here. Say you're a leader, a deacon, a pastor, and you're having an area, or, you know, a problem in your life. Now, you know, God's more than likely called you a pastor. I mean, sometimes I'm sure he hasn't, but say he has. We're going to use a hypothetical situation here. You've got a sin issue. Say, we won't even do this next thing. Say you're an alcoholic, okay? Now, being an alcoholic and everything like that doesn't make you the most evil person on the face of the earth. It means that you have a problem being a drunkard. like the Bible says, we're not to be a drunkard. But the fact is maybe your dad was, his grandfather was. So maybe there's some kind of generational thing there, or just learned behavior from watching them when you were younger. So I'm not saying you have to step down, but perhaps you could take a sabbatical, go get help. Here's the biggest thing right there. Ready? Go to your deacons or go to a deliverance minister or a healing minister or somebody who deals in that and go in and get prayed for. Maybe you need deliverance. Maybe you need counseling. Maybe you need to take the sabbatical, you know what I mean, and just get right with God. So we're not always saying that you have to just walk away and stop what you're doing, but sometimes maybe you do have to, because ultimately, what is it? Do you want to be responsible and have to answer for everything that you've taught that's been a lie in front of God?
No.
And how would you like to be responsible for somebody who perhaps went to hell because they believed in what you were saying?
No.
So sin does kill and it does destroy. So that wage of sin is death, and it may not even be your own. It could be somebody else's.
When I read in Scripture, I shake and tremble when I realize that the Scriptures teach me that a teacher is going to be judged twice. The first time for that which I believe and which I understand, and the second for what I've taught to others. So if I don't get what I understand to be right, and then I teach others serious error, then I'm going to be held responsible two times.
That's right.
That's tough. And that's why over the years, things that I was taught that were wrong, they went in the round file.
Yeah, and that's hard to do. I mean, there are things that I was taught for 20 plus years. As you get older, you're like, I can't find that anywhere in the Word. You know what I mean? So you have to talk. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I believed that for 20 years. Matter of fact, ready? I taught some of that for 20 years. So now I have to go back and say, hey, I was wrong. That's wrong. I apologize. I missed it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Forgive me. Forgive me.
So, yes. And there were people that in my early Christian experience, I taught some things that I was taught, and I repeated them, I regurgitated them, and then come to find out that they were very, very, very wrong. They were very wrong. And the Lord dealt with my heart in such a capacity that I literally traveled hundreds of miles to meet people face to face and apologize to them and correct what bad things I had taught them. That's how the Holy Spirit dealt with me. About that.
That's right. Now, what would you, say you are entrapped in sin, and let's face it, sometimes the body likes sin, it feels good, but you know it's wrong, but you're entrapped and stuff, and you've tried 100 times, and it's not. You just can't seem to get out of it. Would you say, Charlie, maybe it's time maybe to go seek some prayer somewhere? Go talk
Definitely.
To a pastor or a trusted brother or sister in Christ, a counselor, a Christian counselor, somebody who's grounded. Just don't go to anybody, but somebody who's actually grounded in the Word. Maybe a deliverance ministry and go get prayed for.
Definitely. If you're really struggling with it, we need to seek out wise counsel. For whatever it might be, and to ask the Lord to lead and guide us in that wise counsel. To be honest with you, sometimes I've been doing things, and my wife would remind me very abruptly of what I was doing, and I'd say, oh, Jesus, help me, you know.
Right.
Lord, we need to deal with this thing.
Isn't it funny sometimes when you've been married for a while and stuff like that, you can look at something, and like when your wife reminds you, sometimes they can just give you a look, and you'd be like, oh, Jesus, please help me, because you realize, oh, I missed it, and not only is I in trouble with God, but I'm in trouble with the missus as well, yeah. And
been there, done that.
Yeah. But we got about 5 minutes left. So that's what I wanted to really just kind of, I just wanted to get our feet wet. And if there was ever a time probably where maybe it's time to start dealing with some sin if you've got it in your life, would you say maybe that now's the time?
Yes, we need to. We need to deal with it on a daily basis. We need to ask, we may not, there are sins of commission as well as omission. And we need to ask the Lord on a daily basis, what do we need to do? What do I need to do today, Lord? Because I know every day I ask the Lord, I said, Lord, where have I fallen short today? Help me understand where I've fallen short today. And I probably at least once a day ask the Lord that. And sometimes he reminds me of things that I need to pray about and people I need to pray for. And sometimes I'm here at home by myself and I'll sneak off into a room and shut everything down and spend a little time in prayer. I'm not one that really likes to pray in public. I'm that bothers me. But I will do it, but it bothers me. Or even with a group. But the Lord helped me to overcome that. But we need to keep things short with the Lord to where we don't allow things to build up and build up and build up and build up and build up. Because if we
That's
do,
right.
the little foxes will spoil the vine, and pretty soon you got a big mess on your hand.
That's right. So, I don't know. We need to be more sin conscious, in my opinion. And the more sin conscious you are, I believe, then the less that you really actually don't want to do it. And like Charlie just said, if you do sin or make a mistake or miss the mark, just be quick to repentance. If you're sitting there saying, "Oh Lord, please forgive me. That was dumb." I say that a lot. It's like, "Oh God, why did I do that?" Sometimes I'll just react and I'll be like, "Oh my goodness, why in the world did I even do that?" You know what I mean? Lord,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And
yeah, we've done
that.
We need to be careful too, because this would be another lesson down the line. Is there's a big difference between conviction and condemnation, because we can have conviction, and the devil will come with you with a baseball bat.
Right. Right.
So
that's another show.
Yeah, it is. It's another one, but yes.
But anything else you can think to wrap it up? We got about 2 minutes left here before the end of the show.
No, I think that'll do it for right now. But I was hoping Joey would get in with us, but the Lord help us to work these things out. I mean, this is our second or third big show that we've done like this, and we have to learn as we go because we're not professionals at this.
Oh God, yeah. If you took one look at me, I'm just an old Charlie will say I'm not, but I'm just a hillbilly, and he calls me a Yankee. But I'm a Yankee hillbilly, and Charlie, as you can tell by his accent stuff, he's a Southerner, and still upset that the Yankees won. But we'll save that for another show as well.
Yes,
so, again, you can check us out at watchmanchapel.com. And just between you and I, Charlie, we had a lot of hits today on the website. And the last couple of days, we've had more hits than ever. Iron Sharpens Iron. We'll be doing another show. This one's going to be on sin and repentance. And we're going to get a lot deeper into it than what we talked about here. And that'll be posted probably by Tuesday. Tuesday seems, we'll tape it on Monday, but it seems Tuesday is the best. It gives me time to upload them and stuff there. So we'll do that. And I'll be doing a message on Sundays. I didn't know if Charlie was going to want to. I'll talk with him about it. But just like a 10 or 15 minute message that we can put up every Sunday. And I may do that on Facebook Live, just because it's easier to do that. We'll go there. But we got 10 seconds left, Charlie. Thank you very much. If you had anything quickly to say.
Lord bless you, bro.
All right. Bless you, too. Thank you for listening, everybody. Remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.